A look at phase two of the offseason program earlier this week. It's underway just outside of Everbank Field. Welcome into Jaguars.com Live. JP Shattuck with you. Plenty to get to today. Let's take a look at the big three things today, starting off with a draft recap. The NFL draft is in the books. We'll recap what the Jaguars did with their seven selections. And we'll hear from Daniel Jeremiah of NFL Network. He had some positive things to say about the Jags over the weekend. And Ashlyn Sullivan joins us with top tweets from a busy social media weekend. JP Shattuck, Brian Sexton, John Osier. Hey, guys.
Hola.
You know what the striking thing about that intro was, and you saw all the players out there? They're all good.
Yeah.
They're all really good players.
Really good players that play for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Well, yes. It's different. It wasn't that way 3 or 4 years
that's
ago.
That's correct.
They're all good. They're good coaches. They're good players. Let's go.
That's what Daniel Jeremiah was alluding to at the end of their broadcast on Saturday afternoon, which is something we'll ask him about. Is this the best roster in the AFC? And in many respects, you can nod in the affirmative at that.
Look back to 2013's roster.
Oh, please, let's not.
I mean,
they weren't all good.
Night and day. You know?
Please, let's not.
All good? Not all good. Better to be all good.
It really is.
Let's go. Let's close it out.
Better be back on the field, too. Phase two beginning now for the next couple of weeks. They get some individual drills. No teamwork allowed in this period, but some kind of running around on a football field is better than not.
You bet. You want to get these guys back used to the physical grind of putting their foot in the ground and pushing off. It's different than working out on a treadmill or working out at Gold's Gym or working out in the gym down here. It's got to get to that. The design of the offseason program is to build steadily, right? So that these guys, by the time OTAs and minicamp roll around, they're in shape for it. Remember what happened here when Dante Fowler Jr. showed up. Mm-hmm. 2015, he wasn't in football shape, tore his ACL. The whole design of this thing is to gradually get guys ready for football.
Well, and this is really the first four. I mean, the 4 weeks of OTA is really the first part of training camp. It's why you can have shorter camps. You should still have that training camp a little longer, a little tougher, but you can't do it. So, yeah, this is important. And for the most part, this is, you know, it's important. The Jaguars have a lot of guys healthy and able to participate. What you don't want is a lot of guys rehabbing during this time and not able to improve and be ready for training camp. It looks like this is a pretty healthy roster right now. That's important because these guys like to have their body right by the time they go into training camp.
Draft reaction, we'll hear from Daniel Jeremiah coming up. But the grades, John, as you wrote from national analysts, range from A- to B- if you're into grades of drafts. This is a different type of draft for the Jags from the last couple of years' comparison here. Drafting 29th overall, first of all. Drafting for a little depth. Drafting for special teams. It's not a splash draft in that regard, but it's a very important draft for this team.
Well, for the most part, and I did not have Daniel with a grade. Maybe we can ask him for his grade. He was praised the draft, obviously. For the most part, it was A- to B-. That makes sense, as you noted, JP. You know, the A's come when you've got double splash. This one had single splash in Taven Bryant. So for the most part, it was, a guy we've all heard of, and then a lot of good picks. So most analysts don't like to give all A's. So A-, B, it's fine. It was a good draft, and no matter what the grade, I think the Seahawks Russell Wilson draft was an F for most people. So grades are great. It looks like a good draft to me where they got stuff done that they wanted to get done. That's what matters.
They put good players, potentially great players, in their funnel at a moment where they need to start thinking about the present and the future at the same time, because for the first time in a long time, the Jaguars are over the cap for 2019. They don't have a surplus that we're looking at how they're going to spend it. So for them, in particular, John, to be able to go grab a young ascending defensive lineman, a high-impact mm-hmm. caliber guy, in advance of having $58 million spent on the defensive line next year, really a smart move. So call it an A, call it a B, whatever you want it to be.
What is this funnel you keep talking about? I've heard you like 4 or 5 times the last couple of days, this funnel.
I put it back over at your
it's
place.
It's back over there?
It's over there.
Just in case you needed it tonight.
No, but I do like that analogy as much as I can. They are putting guys in the line, in the funnel, if you will.
You bet.
And it looks like, to me, they've got 4 guys in this draft who could potentially start in 2019, even though they won't start in 2018.
Sustained
in
winning?
In the funnel, JP.
In the funnel. And I will copyright that, at least as far as this room comes. Sustained winning is a blend of talent and the salary cap in balance. They've got that now. They've got the ability to do what they need to do. The other part of that, as you know, is the quarterback, right? Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, sustained winning. We'll see if this quarterback takes steps forward. But the funnel, John, wherever it may be, is full.
It ain't here.
It's full. It's full.
I changed my oil the other day. I had a little funnel.
You changed different your own oil.
I didn't change it. I added it.
Oh, okay.
It's different. I don't.
Well, you said change. Right. I just wanted to be sure because I was stumped. Yeah,
you're a stickler for words.
We'll come back.
Shouldn't you be Mr. Ryder? Yeah, I'm sorry, am I missing
senior
something?
Senior Ryder over here.
Changed your oil.
Apparently is not.
Changed your oil.
Go get your funnel. Let's go to break.
We'll come back.
Like Daniel I said,
Jeremiah's
I left it at your desk.
Right around the corner. Daly's Place concerts are right around the corner as well. Skillet and For King and Country, May 4th. Post Malone and 21 Savage coming up May 10th. Steely Dan and the Doobie Brothers, May 13th. Daly'sPlace.com. That's the website. For tickets, you'll see a lot of social media updates very soon on the Daily's Place accounts from Ashlyn Sullivan, who'll be joining us here shortly on this program. When we return, though, NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah. That's in 60 seconds on Jaguars.com Live.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. EverBank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jags fans, experience EverBank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named EverBank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
Jaguars.com Live continues. The name of the stadium is, the process of changing that is underway.
June 4th, it becomes TIAA Bank.
Yes. They're taking down the signage the last day or two.
Oh, yeah.
I've already been calling it TIAA Bank. You think they mind? You think they say, hey, don't put our name in there yet?
Yeah, well, it'll be there.
Have you heard from anyone?
No.
Oh, yeah, I guess they don't.
Let's get to our guest today from NFL Network. NFL Network analyst at Move the Sticks on Twitter, host of the Move the Sticks podcast with Bucky Brooks, and so much more, Daniel Jeremiah. What's up, man? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. Just trying to decompress a little bit from last.
I would say so, right? I mean, you one of the busiest men in the business, especially leading up to the draft, but then draft weekend, hours and hours and hours and hours of coverage. What do you do this week? Now that it's all over.
Well, we get to do a full week of recap shows here on NFL Network. We have to change the name of the show because it's called Path to the Draft. So now that the draft's over, you can't really be on the Path to the Draft. So it's Path to the Draft, the Aftermath, which sounds a little bit like rap lyrics, but it's actually the name of the show this week.
Yeah, it gets the job done for sure. So we were comparing earlier, or they wouldn't want to compare. Brian and John don't want to compare 2013.
No,
to the 2017-2018 Jaguars, but it is, Daniel, night and day from that point to now. But now you're starting to rank it with among the best teams in the league. Where do they rank?
Well, I think if you just look at their roster and the talent that they've accumulated over the last several years and where they stand right now, if it's not the most talented roster in the NFL, I think it's in the top three without question. They're especially defensively, with just the massive amount of talent that they accumulated, premier blue-chip players. And then now you look at what they've done on the offensive line. You've got the running back. You've mixed in some talent along with this receiving core now. I mean, it is an impressive group that they have there in Jacksonville.
Specific to this year's draft, what did you think of the first-round pick, Brian? And maybe what did you think of the first four picks overall? Is that the group that made you think this was a strong draft for them?
Yeah, you know, I love five of their picks. I mean, I think they've got a chance to get five starters to emerge out of this group, and six if you include the punter. But Taven Bryan, to me, He's a dominant point of attack player. He just got to work on finding the football and being a little bit more productive, but he's going to create a mess with just how difficult he is to handle and how explosive he is. DJ Chark, I thought there was a chance Jacksonville could take him in the bottom of the first round. They end up getting him in the second round. He's the perfect complement to what they have in the run game because he's a vertical stretch receiver. You're going to see a bunch of man coverage, single high safety with this run game, and so you're going to be able to pay that off with some big plays to him. And Ronnie Harrison, I thought, was at worst an early second-round guy, and they land him in the third round out of Alabama. So, I mean, I thought their first three picks were home runs. Will Richardson has a lot of talent and has the ability to develop into a starter at tackle. And then, and I know this linebacking core is going to be impossible to crack because they're so deep and so loaded, but Leon Jacobs, to me, with some of that versatility to rush off the edge and play off the ball as well, it's just a really explosive linebacker from Wisconsin. So that group's pretty darn strong.
Daniel, what can DJ Chark contribute immediately? I mean, they've got Marquise Lee. They add Dante Moncrief. They got the two youngsters, yeah. Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook from last year. What can he add, and what should they be looking for from DJ Chark?
Well, I think the number you're going to look at for him is just yards per catch. You know, I don't think you're going to get caught up in how many balls he's going to catch or how many touchdowns he's going to have, but I do think he's going to add some explosive plays. I mean, he could be a situation where there's games where he has two catches for 70 yards, two catches for 60 yards. He's going to have some big-time explosive plays to mix in and balance out that running game because, that's what he does best, get on top of coverage and track the football.
How'd the division do overall? When you look at the Titans and the Texans and the Colts, I mean, if you think the Jaguars have one of the better rosters, where did these guys stack up?
Well, the Colts had a long way to go when you look at the rest of their roster. Obviously, their key's going to be getting Andrew Luck healthy. But I thought just in terms of numbers, they added the most guys that can get on the field for them and help them right away. They had to address that offensive line. We've been saying that forever. They finally did. So to me, I thought they're going to get probably the most impact out of this group just in the sheer numbers. Tennessee didn't have a lot of picks, but you know when you get a Harold Landry where they got him, I thought that was a tremendous value for them. And they have probably less holes to fill when you look at them compared to the other three teams there in that division. You know, Jacksonville's in the best shape. I thought Tennessee would put them in the two spot, but I thought they did a nice job with the selections that they had there. So, I mean, those two teams are the ones that kind of jump out to me.
I don't know how deep you dig before the draft in predicting what teams will do, but did anything the Jaguars did surprise you? Did you expect them? A lot of us around here thought it'd be offense early. Did it surprise you, or do you look at it that way?
You know, I maybe was a little bit surprised at some point in time they didn't pluck a tight end. I know you bring in ASJ, kind of swap him out with Mercedes Lewis, but I thought maybe they try and find another tight end in the mix. But to their credit, you know, I give Dave Caldwell and Coach Coughlin a lot of credit. They didn't reach. They had some really talented players fall to them. Might not have been necessarily the highest position of need, but you don't pass on great players. And I thought they were smart to stay true to the board.
Daniel Jeremiah is with us, NFL Network analyst at Move the Sticks on Twitter, host of the Move the Sticks podcast, and the draft aftermath. Path to the draft aftermath.
It's very complicated to get that all out, but we're basically, long story short, we're recapping everybody's draft.
Love it. Let's recap this entire draft though in general. Here is a lot of movement in this draft, a lot of trading early, a lot of trading in that second day, teams moving up a number of places for some positions that you don't historically move that far for in the first round, defensive end instead of a quarterback in the Saints selection there. How did this compare to some others in the recent past in that regard? How crazy was this draft in terms of all the movement?
Yeah, I mean, I thought it really kind of kicked off last year when we had those trade-ups for the quarterbacks last year. We saw it with Kansas City coming up to get their guy. We saw it with Houston coming up to get their guy. And that carried over again this year with some movement. Buffalo being aggressive to go up and get Josh Allen. We saw Arizona, who didn't really have to give up that much, but did move up five spots to go get Josh Rosen. So it's really kind of, I think, a two-year trend we've seen on that front. Maybe the most shocking was the Saints trade you referenced, going up there for Marcus Davenport. But, you know, hey, when you feel like you're this close to getting a Super Bowl and you only know, you know, Drew Brees has only so much time left, I thought it was bold, no question. It's risky, no question. But I do admire the Saints saying, hey, let's just go for it. This is the second best edge rusher. There's a pretty significant drop there after him, so let's go for it.
Final couple of thoughts with you here, Daniel. Blake Bortles signed a new contract with the Jaguars in this offseason. Where does he stand right now, and where do you see his development after year four going into year five?
Well, I think he's got some momentum. You know, I think that's huge for him, the momentum he built up with how he played in the postseason. You know, hopefully that's going to give him some confidence, and he can get off to a hot start. I really do think the beginning of the season is going to be huge for him. You know, can he carry that over? Can he carry that momentum over and get in the groove? Because if he can, he's capable of having a huge year with everything they've surrounded him with.
Daniel, good to see you. Oh, well, didn't see you. We're talking to you on the phone. Good to talk to you on the phone. The Path to the Draft aftermath right now on NFL Network. The Move the Sticks podcast, at Move the Sticks on Twitter. Great to visit with you. We appreciate your time, Daniel.
I appreciate you guys. Have a great day.
Daniel Jeremiah. We're talking to him on the phone. We didn't see him, but we were talking to him on the phone. Well, always good stuff.
Picture him.
Yes. Yeah. Always good stuff.
I thought he nailed it. I mean, I thought every point he made about the Jaguars was stuff we've talked about, which isn't always easy to do when you're trying to do 32 teams. You know, I thought he was dead on, and I particularly thought it was interesting to me that he thought so highly of Leon Jacobs. It'll be interesting to see. Everybody's talked about the top four, where he fits in, how quickly he develops. Certainly on special teams, quickly, Brian, but well, how quickly he develops into a guy that can be part of the three.
I don't know that we've talked enough about him that people realize he was a pass rusher at Wisconsin, and a pretty darn good one, too. Mm-hmm. So there may be a role for him on the strong side in some of those pressure packages that Todd Walsh wants to put together that people haven't even conceived of yet. So interesting to hear that perspective from him.
So the draft is in the books. The Jags have undrafted free agents they've signed up as well. What's the feel, while we're on the subject, of how – could this be a team where you have some undrafted guys make it this year?
You need some, too. Again, I'll go back to the salary cap. You need to start developing your own A.J. Boyes and Andrew Norwells. So you'd like a couple of them. You could use some depth at running back. They did not draft one. You've got a couple of tight ends to choose from, if you like Koyak, if you like O'Shaughnessy, if you like Niles Paul. But, you know, if there's a guy who all of a sudden comes available sometime in camp, maybe you go find something there.
I think you'll have – I would be a little surprised if one of the cornerbacks doesn't make it. They brought in three, Meeks and Delaney. I believe the two, probably the best shot on paper. Lazard, the wide receiver, a lot being made of him. A lot of times that most high-profile free agent, you know, it's always hard to judge what's really going to happen with these UDFAs. But – I think at least six of the draft picks make the team, and I would think two or three of the undrafted rookies. It's vogue to say you can't make this roster. Well, this roster is really good, but it's not so great in those bottom 43 that none of these rookies are going to make it. I think eight or nine.
And over the course of camp the last few years, they've grabbed a few guys who were cut loose by other teams. O'Shaughnessy's a guy who wasn't an undrafted rookie last year, but they went and grabbed him when the Patriots cut down. So don't be surprised if they don't do some of that. Those are offensive line for a team that runs as much as this one wants to, purports to. Don't be surprised if they don't find one of those guys too. And, of course, the practice squad will be loaded with them.
When we return, our favorite segment of each and every week, Top Tweets. 60 seconds away on Jaguars.com Live.
Jag Stands. Experience Everbank Field like never before. Visit jaguars.com/tours and book a guided behind-the-scenes tour. Hear stories of great plays by Jaguars legends. Get up close and personal with the famous video boards. And see why the Travel Channel named Everbank Field is one of the 15 bucket list destinations for any football fan. Discounts available for children, first responders, and military. Visit jaguars.com/tours for tickets and details. See you at the bank.
What do you call a pack of Jaguars? A jamboree. The Jacksonville Jaguars want to offer a big thank you to the five local companies who've made the Jaguars Jamboree a party that never stops. Everbank, Baptist Health, Dreamfinders Homes, Publix, and U.S. Assure. Each of these partners provides unmatched support and dedication to the team year in and year out and help make game day special. Jaguars fans, join the Jamboree and support these companies and all the partners who support the team.
Jaguars.com Live continues. Daniel Jeremiah was with us just a moment ago from NFL Network. Brian Sexton, John Osier, and Ashlyn Sullivan joins us at the desk. Hello, Ashlyn. That also means it's time for a very important segment. We call it Top Tweets.
Top Tweets. Top Tweets. Top Tweets. Top Tweets.
Yes, indeed. Top Tweets each and every week here on Jaguars.com Live. And what a busy, frenetic time, not Gene Frenette, frenetic time on social media around the draft these days.
Oh, yeah. He was active. That's for sure. The first top tweet is Ross Dellinger, LSU football beat reporter. DJ Chark gets the phone call from Leonard Fournette, his old roommate at LSU. DJ's dad reports that Leonard wanted him there, so he got him there. However, it was a little bit of a surprise. No congratulations, no nothing like that. The first words to DJ Chark from Fournette were, "Boy, you ugly."
Former teammates, former roommates in Baton Rouge.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, fits Leonard.
Yeah. Yeah. And a lot of people learned of the Jaguars' selection of DJ Chark from Leonard Fournette.
That's right. He broke it.
Yeah, he broke the news.
He's
probably
got a future in this biz.
Yeah.
He might. Yeah, he stole it there for sure. Hey, Taven Bryan, first-round pick. A lot of fans were expecting offense. The Jags go defense there. And that just adds to an already strong group.
Oh, yeah. Field Yates, an NFL insider for ESPN, writes, Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, Marcel Darius, Taven Bryan, Avery Jones, Unique Ngakoue, Dante Fowler Jr., DeJuan Smoot. Good luck blocking the Jaguars. That's a mouthful. And all of those guys are impactful players, no doubt.
Yeah, when you put it that way, who's going to block them?
Good luck. Yeah.
Field also did something that I do every day, which is misspell Smoot's name. So
DeJuan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I misspell it every day. Every time I write it, I misspell it the first time. No, I always have to look it up. But
that surprises you.
Me and Field. Maybe I'll put it in the funnel.
Maybe so.
Is that the funnel of your mistakes? Yeah,
the spelling funnel. Errors. It all comes out at the
end.
That
funnel's been full for a long time.
It has. The NFL Network Top 100 list is coming out. It's an off-season tradition. Players vote on this thing.
Yes, players vote. So yesterday the 82-100 came out, and Unique Ngakoue was number 88, the first member of Saxonville to join the list. After all we heard last season about the chip on his shoulder and him not getting enough recognition, this probably feels good to him getting on this list. However, I'm sure he wants to be top 50.
Yeah, he's mad because he wasn't.
Right.
There's 87 above him, right, so, yeah.
And, you know, good for him. That motivates him. He'll never be happy with that. And
have you ever seen him happy?
No,
neither have I.
Which he's always driving.
Which, as much as we make fun of it, that's what drives him. More power to him. Let it keep driving.
Absolutely. Not a nice game. Don't think you should be happy.
No, and it's never over for him. He's always trying for something else. Jalen Ramsey, active on social media as always. But this week, with a member of our crew on Jaguars.com.
Especially. We saved the best for last. Now, Max is going to get upset about this, but he was testing the green screen for Daily's Place content. Put on a few dance moves. Of course, it was captured and put on social media because the dance moves were that good.
Well, do we get to see them?
Yeah, there they are.
There they are.
What in the world?
Look,
is that the robot?
That. And if you guys didn't know, Jalen Ramsey and Max Hockman, they have a bit of a bromance together. They really like
each
other.
It's a thing.
I can
it's
think
a
of
bond.
Another word, but I can't use it.
Right. This is television.
I'm not sure I'll ever get over what I just saw.
So Jalen quote tweets those dance moves and says, Max, you got to get a backup dancing gig. We might lose Max to that.
It's very possible.
It is,
and
highly.
You do not want to lose Max.
No, especially to that. Right. Could you imagine he'll be backstage with Beyonce?
And we're going to say, it'd be a good career move for Max. Are you kidding? Get him out of that room.
Wow.
Good for him.
I have nothing to add to that.
God, that is incredible. Nothing better.
It really is. And
thank you, Jalen, for your contribution.
That would be the top tweet.
Can we see the dance moves one more time?
Yeah, we need to finish
with
that.
Just once. I mean,
yeah,
it's just too much to ask. Yeah, there they are.
There's Max. Max Hockman.
God.
Well, the green screen works. That's good news, right? I mean, that's the good part of this thing. Hey, there you have it. Top tweets for this week. Coming up, phase two
I thought
continues.
You reminded me of somebody.
That's what it is.
You look just like him.
You taught him.
I did.
Yeah, phase two coming up. Rookie minicamp right around the corner as well. What else this week? What do we got? What do you got? John, what do you got?
Relatively so this week. I'll be interviewing Andrew Norwell for Jaguars.com on Thursday. Look for that interview.
All right.
Nice.
Are you ever going to post that story that we did? The quick thoughts on the
draft? Should be up today.
All right.
Should be up. That's coming too. Check the website. It's free.
Shameless self-promotion.
Cam Robinson on the J.P. Shadrick podcast tomorrow, the left tackle for the Jaguars. You're going to Louisville.
I am. Derby weekend.
Derby weekend coming up. Busy weekend.
Take Max with you.
Thanks for our...
Give him a hat first.
The dancing in the infield. Max Hockman. Our entire crew, thank you for watching. Daniel Jeremiah, our special guest, our thanks for his time on a busy week after the draft. We'll catch you next week on Jaguars.com Live.